Few of us could imagine the horror of the Allied forces as they stormed the beaches of Normandy, France, to assault the Nazis under heavy fire in the closing days of World War II. This massive invasion force had a singular purpose: strike the final blow to the reign of Hitler in Europe. Now remember, what we're trying to do here is develop desire power. So we have, to keep this in perspective, we have four components of that. One is focus, which we talked about in the previous program. Second, we're going to discuss now, is purpose. Three is action, and then the fourth is response. So let's go back and look at the key issues that involve having a greater sense of purpose. First of all, a definition. The dictionary defines purpose as a result or effect that is intended or desired, and intention or determination or resolution or resolve. Those definitions say a lot. Every one of us, whether we do currently or not, needs to have a powerful purpose in our life, to have a sense of direction and reasons that answer the key question, why am I doing what I'm doing, both day-to-day and in a much bigger life standpoint. So first of all, let's look at some different purposes as a sales mind of why you do what you do. Well, number one is you, first of all, have a business purpose, and that business purpose has a number of things at work. First of all is that you, and together with your product or in your service and your company, all combined together, satisfy the customer's business and then ultimately personal, emotional needs. And simultaneously, while you generate a profit for both your company and yourself. You know, in terms of a business where there's money and there's finances, you have to understand those are the two things you've got to do for customers and then for your company and yourself. Now, in terms of the customer's perspective, the customer basically has three reasons for entertaining you and your products and your company. I call these the big three. The first purpose is, in entertaining you, is to make more money. Secondly is to reduce their costs. And then number three is to cut their hassles or their pains of conducting business on a daily basis. Now, beyond the business purpose, obviously where we're going to spend some focal time now, is you have a personal purpose that needs to be your driving ambition day to day. You know, because if you don't have a purpose, and if you don't define it, and if you don't work on crafting it and understanding it and fulfilling it, someone else, whether it's your family or your boss or even your customers or society or the government, someone will give you a purpose if you don't define your own. So now, here are six ideas, six categories of what we're going to examine of how to have greater purpose. First of all is the issue of service, both from the standpoint of how you offer service as a representative of your company, and then personally, what level of service you offer to your customers on a more intimate one-to-one level. The second issue is that, in terms of personal purpose, of having a strong sense of identity. And identity simply means, who are you? And, you know, based on who you think you are now, who is it you desire to be? Many of us have a distance between those two things, who we are now, who we desire to be. Number three is to have a stronger driving sense of purpose on an individual level, is to have clearly defined values, a value system. What do you need value? Why do you need value focus on to correspond, and how does that correspond to the identity that you have? Issue number four we're going to discuss is the issue of a belief system. What is it that you believe? Why do you believe it? How do these things fit your purpose and your identity and the things that you value? Five is the issue of having a goal structure. If you don't have a roadmap for what you want out of life and business and what you want to achieve with your customers and financially and emotionally, then it's going to be very difficult to perform. It's, you know, science and the study of people has always confirmed people that set goals in writing and move toward them as milestones, as bullseyes, out-achieve those that do not have that structure. And then number six is having a sense of balance. We all need to examine those various areas of life that we're trying to manage. Some of us are spending too much time in one area and it's costing us in others. And we also have to make decisions about what's important balanced against the not so important. And then also, you know, in terms of having balance in your life and your emotional life, what is urgent and what is not so urgent? So these are all things together, having offering service, having a strong personal identity, having a value system, having a belief system that corresponds with that, and then having goals and working on a sense of balance. All of these issues together that we're going to discuss now will give you a greater sense of purpose in both your business and personal life. The first element of having a strong sense of purpose as a sales mind is the issue of service. We've talked about a couple dimensions. Now let's elaborate on what it is to have a service purpose about yourself. Well, the very first and certainly a constant focus that you have to generate in your mindset is the customer's welfare. It is so easy to get away from the question, why are we in business? We're in business to make customers happy and to earn their loyalty. So here are three things at play that really gives you a customer focus and a customer service purpose. First of all, your own focus on the customer's needs, in person or not. This is so critical. Just please remember, service is not some generality that's in the company brochure or that somebody else does or that's in the company mission statement. You have to look for a person in your client company to serve. The issue of service is serving people one-to-one, circumstance to circumstance. Number two is, there is always a degree of giving service to people and to companies at large that is related to earning power. What that simply means is, if you're offering a little bit of service, both individually and as a company, your earning power is going to be limited. If you have medium service, medium earning power. If you have high service levels, and this can be documented in many walks of life, you're going to have high earning power. So in other words, it's financially beneficial to have a service purpose with our customers. And then three is, and this is tough, how to get the customer to focus on your intention to serve them. Sometimes people fight us when we're trying to serve them. Maybe they're distracted by their own issues of the day or their own stresses, or they're not used to being served by companies or salespeople. But remember, you're a sales mind, and your ability to get a customer to focus on your intentions to serve them is a barometer of your success. You know, a sales mind, as they develop their service purpose, they really live by the credo, serve and the money will follow. They really believe and have an attitude and a mindset that if I will serve my customers, no matter how troublesome, no matter if I don't feel like it or I'm not feeling good that day or I've got somebody else's problems I'm trying to carry, that I've got to serve first and the money will come. So as you do that, develop some of these principles to develop your service mind of being a sales mind. Remember, a customer will test your sincerity every day in many different ways. So rise to the occasion early and be precise. Nextly, find a service model and study service programs, maybe another company or talking to other people, that you can use too with your customers. Oh, this is important. Don't overstretch or overpromise what you can't do. One of the most wise things you can do is to underpromise and overperform, not overpromise and underperform. So if you'll do some of those kind of things, you're going to develop a better set of principles on which to serve your customers. When you're faced with circumstances where you have to respond to a service inquiry, you've been beeped or you've been buzzed or you get one of those message slips that you know you're going to have to respond to give service, or if somebody walks into your store with a question and somebody is even hostile, always respond in the sequence of two things and with two things in mind. First of all is to respond immediately and try to eliminate someone's hostility when there's a complaint situation. That's critical. I mean, you'll get on to the solving of the long-term issue later, but make sure you do things right now that let people know, what can I do for you now? And then secondly is, make sure as you discover that problem that you begin to align yourself and your company and orchestrate everyone on your team with lots of communication in the company in a planned and hopefully long-term solution for that customer. And then finally, here's a wonderful thought. Sit back today and listen to this. What I call this is a customer service oath that you'll live by. I, that you, will always pursue all elements of the truth with my customers, even when it hurts to confront it. My customer, I know, is first human and therefore emotional. So the damage of negative emotion directed at me or my company is never worth the benefit. I, and that you, I see service as a character opportunity and a good selling investment because both good and bad news travels fast. And then finally, I will pretend and believe that my customer's welfare shall be treated exactly as if I were in their shoes, and then I add some service to that. That'll keep you safe. Remember, the most important and the first element of having a sense of purpose in being a sales mind is to have a service attitude. Our second question of having a strong sense of purpose in our desire to operate with a higher state of desire day to day, in addition to having focus, is this simple question: who are you? Now, we're going to depart a little bit from the business element of service that we just talked about to now some various areas of having personal purpose, because I simply believe this: if you don't have a strong sense of personal purpose about yourself, you are not going to be inclined to be service-minded from a business perspective. So our second question again is, who are you? Now, the answer to that is obviously your sense of identity. So we're going to examine our second dimension of purpose on a personal level is, how do you have a clear identity? Well, obviously, you begin with the question again, who am I? And I think that lends itself to two answers. Number one is, in all areas of your life, your spiritual life, your family, your business, your social, your physical life, is to ask yourself, first of all, who am I now? What is the state of that condition and area in my life now? And then secondly is, and this is the most important, is to try to begin to identify, what do I want to be in that area of my life? And I simply call this desired identity. So we have two issues. One is current identity in any walk of life that you have, and then that corresponds to desired identity of where you want to take those issues in life. So one of the easiest ways to do this, and it's not easy, but it can be made more simple, is to begin to sit down with a piece of paper and ask yourself on the left side of a sheet of paper, area by area in your life, who am I in this area? How do I feel about this area today? What am I accomplishing? Where am I falling short? How is this area enhancing my life? How is it detracting from my life? And then, maybe this takes days, perhaps even weeks, is once you begin identifying what your current identity or present identity is in those areas, is to then begin the process of asking yourself, all right, as I look to the left side of these pieces of paper, now the right side begins the challenge of defining in writing, and I always believe in defining things in writing, is the question, well, what is my desired identity? What do I want to be in this area of my life? What do I want to accomplish? What do I want to be in the future? What steps do I have to take to be more fulfilled in this walk of life? So if a person can sit down and ask themselves, and frankly, sometimes this is painful, who am I today, and begin that process, and also on top of that, begin asking himself, but what do I want to be? They have set themselves up to have a stronger life and certainly a stronger sense of purpose. Our third element of having a strong purpose, and this is a personal purpose, is reflected in the question, what is really important to you at all times? What is really important in your life and business? Now, a sales mind knows the immediate answer to this is having an inspiring value system. So let's look at the power of purpose of having a value system. Well, the dictionary defines value as a principle or a standard or quality. Now, listen to this. Considered inherently worthwhile or desirable. That is beautiful. A value system, if you think about it, is really the purpose upon which you develop and strengthen those things you believe in. Now, in more practical terms, a value system, I believe, is a thought out, certainly, and written set of priorities that really are at the core of a person, what's really vital, their reason for living and pushing when times get tough, and their absolute foundations for the certainty in their lives, even when they're challenged, and you and I both know that's every day out in the business world. So why does a person need a value system? Simple things. One is, and this is, you see it reflected in people's attitudes, both in a large standpoint today, and certainly in the people that you meet in your own life. People need attachment to a foundation, something that's important and makes the sacrifices in their lives and the energy they're spending worthwhile, for the same reason that a house needs a strong foundation, a ship needs an anchor, a baby, and you know this if you're a parent, needs its mother. I mean, why do companies need principals? Why do people need leaders with character? When you start putting things together, like having defined values in the context of having desire, man, you have a powerful offspring. So, another thing and another role that a value system serves, and again, I mentioned that a value system has to be in writing or it's just not important enough. A value system serves the role of an instant signaling system that tells you when your thoughts or your behaviors or your actions are moving in another direction from what you know is important. I don't have to get into the ramifications of the reality if you start doing and thinking about things that are different from what you deemed to be important. Everyone listening to this program knows that that puts a person in a bad position. So how can you go about developing, and I have an exercise for you, of how you can begin the process of defining your own value system. I call it a 5-day process. You can do it in 5 consecutive days. That's the best. Certainly 5 days over a period of a short period of time. On day 1, force yourself to pull out a piece of paper and just begin randomly to ask yourself, what's important? You don't have to get all the words right. Just begin to jot down the major categories. Don't worry about your writing or having the words right. As a matter of fact, that stops a lot of people. Just get the ideas down. Now, put it away. Think about it overnight. Come back on day 2. Again, if you do it physically on a second day, that's best. On day 2, force yourself to start ranking these. To start ranking these and get rid of the ones that are not so important, so that ultimately day 3, you've ended up with on a piece of paper, and this is how I ended up with mine. I ended up after day 2 with, in order, the 10 most important categories in my life. Now, that is a tough thing to do, and it extracts some energy from you. But the bottom line is this, the number one thing on the top of that paper is the most important thing in your life, bar none. And then second day is, by the second day, you put these in order. On day 3, come back and begin developing maybe some subcategories in your priority system. Let's say that you have a family. You might have an immediate family, a wife or a husband and children. You may also have an extended family of parents, or you may have cousins or relatives. So you have to begin putting into writing, obviously, which of those, now in terms you love them all, and I understand that, but to begin to define in terms of which ones are going to be responded to in terms of your time and your energy. So on day 1, get the general categories down in writing. Day 2, begin to rank those, and I think 1 to 10 is a reasonable set of values. Day 3, begin to detail out some of the subcategories within your value system, and then put it away. Come back on day 4, and sometimes when you look at things fresh, you get some fresh ideas. But on day four, your commitment needs to be to really work on crafting the language. How exactly are these things important? Fill in the exact names. Fill in the exact emotions so that they're very vivid and they're very specific, again, representing the things you value in life. And then day five is your last challenge. Step back, sit back, literally, and look at your value system that you have in writing and ask yourself a simple question. Is this true? Is this true? Is this what I really believe? If your answer to that collectively is yes, type it up, make it look important, and put it in a prominent position where you see it every day. I promise you, having a value system is a wonderful foundation for the purpose in your life. Our fourth key element of developing and maintaining and sustaining a stronger sense of personal purpose is the having and the ownership of a belief system. Now, what is a belief system? A belief system are those mental states of mind, those heartfelt states of mind that say to yourself, I know I can with absolute certainty and unshakable conviction. If a belief that you have does not meet those two elements, absolute certainty, unshakable condition, it's a belief that needs to be strengthened. Now, we're going to save our more in-depth discussion of crafting a belief system and the meaning of a belief system in our next major issue, which is action. So we will save our major discussion of having and how to craft and the meaning of a belief system for our next major issue, which is taking action. Now, let's keep our issue of purpose in perspective, which is one of the skills we've been working on. There are basically six major pieces to having an enhanced sense of purpose. Number one is, as we talked about, both from a business and personal standpoint, the offering of service, both in action and mindset. Two is having a strong identity to determine who you are now and who you want to be. Three is have a written value system. And fourth, as we just discussed, and we will discuss more later in our discussion of action, having a strong belief system. So our fifth question is around the issue of how do you define your important achievements? And the answer in this program is to have a set of definable goals. Definable goals, which are really a standard for the directions and the energy and the time allocation of your life. Now, there's basically a number of issues that make a goal, but a few are very basic. Number one is the goals have to be in writing. If you don't put them in writing, they're really not that important, whether you believe it or not. I can't tell you in my travels and with the thousands of people I see every year, when I get into the discussion of goals, people will say, yeah, but I've got my goals in my head. Well, that's just not enough, and there's plenty of evidence to demonstrate they need to be on paper to be fulfilled. Secondly is, they have to be believable. Don't write down anything you don't believe. If you don't believe it, you won't achieve it. And then thirdly, which is one of the third major area, it has to have some kind of a deadline for measurement. Some way for you to say, you know, if you're measuring sales performance or dollars or account penetration, the sales mind has to be able to say at the end of the month, the day, the year, whatever, what did I achieve? Am I over goal? Am I under goal? So all of us need a goal structure that is at bare minimum in writing. It has to be believable. And it has to have a series of deadlines so that we can measure ourselves. Now, those are not the only elements involved in goals, but those are the major ones. And if you will make a commitment in your sales mind life, both business and personal, to begin defining what it is you want, what do you want to achieve? What do you want to achieve now, meaning perhaps this year? What about 5 years from now? Basically, what is the mind desire? And then, listen to this carefully, what is the battle plan of how to achieve it? It's not enough to simply define a goal. You have to begin the battle plan of defining how am I going to get there. I also highly recommend keeping what I call a goals notebook. Go and buy a nice notebook that has various sections for the various elements of your life. keep your thoughts and your writings and your reviews and your updates and your notes for your specific goals in one place. It makes it a lot more efficient. You value it more, and you're not chasing down your goal notes in all kinds of ways. Here also, finally, is a quick laundry list of some other things that make goals turn into realities or make your desires become your outcomes. Balance the short and long-term goals in your life. Prioritize your goals. Not all goals are of the same weight or the same importance. Sometimes you have to sit down and generate mutual goals with a boss, a sales manager, obviously at home, with a spouse. Make sure your goals have ample detail. And as I mentioned before, keep your notes in one place in one notebook. Make sure, and we're going to discuss this next, that also your goals are balanced out between the various areas of your life. As we've discussed before in this program, make sure your goals have emotions taken into account. What are the emotional range? What's the goal emotional range that you desire? So now let's take a look at our next issue, is how to take the specific goals in our life and spread those out to have a sense of balance. Our sixth and final dimension of having a greater sense of purpose is reflected in the question, do you have a sense of balance in your life? So the issue is one of balance. Every one of us knows that living in this day and age where things are moving so fast and we have so many stresses and we're juggling so many different demands and we have limited time, balance is a difficult state of things to reach in our lives. Now, I don't think anybody could sit here and tell you you're going to be perfectly balanced or you don't have enough to do, but frankly, most of us have lots to do. So let's examine some ways in how you can have a more balanced personal, which obviously as a sales mind flows into your business life. Just ask yourself some basic questions about, first of all, what you're trying to balance. Are the things that I'm trying to make decisions this balancing act, what's really important and what's not? Secondly, what's urgent and really has to be done right now, and what's not? What can wait? Another question is, what is deserving of my time now, this week, this month? Or what is, frankly, not deserving of my time and has to wait when I can allocate time to it? I think a person who sits down and asks themselves those honest questions and then begins to define, and again, I believe this, define the answers in writing begins to see how immediately their life can become more balanced. Now, another major strategy you can employ is to begin to carve out time and energy and resources to the various areas of your life. I call these the five areas of life, and those five areas are obviously what you do business and professionally to earn money as a career. So the first major area is business. Secondly is the spiritual life that you have, what you believe in and what you're really willing to commit your life to. Thirdly is your social life, the friends that you have and the quality of relationships that you have now and certainly also in the ones that you want to develop. The third major area of life is our physical life. And I can tell you right now, and I think you begin to see the fit, if your physical life is deteriorating, the other elements of your life are obviously going to be substantially affected. And then the fifth major area is family. Whether you're single or married, divorced, it doesn't matter. Each of us have some group of people, blood or not, that we call family. So, you know, you look at these areas, business, spiritual, social, physical, and family, and the same kind of questions about importance, how much time, is it urgent, is it deserving of energy or not, begin to apply. But I think the most predominant thing you have to have for these five areas is some sort of a written plan and some decisions that you make about that plan that will affect how much time you spend in each area. People approach me in seminar programs and, well, you know, I don't have time to be balanced. And my first response back to them is, let me see your plan for balance. And of course, their answer is, well, I don't have a plan. So then my response is, if you'll take a few minutes and sit down and look at those areas, begin to defining what's important, what activities you really have time for, I just believe immediately and now enlarge to your sense of purpose that you'll have a more balanced existence and frankly, you'll be happier.